Do you get tired of styling your hair every day? And do you want a good hairstyle every day? Hi, I'm Sarah Schuster. I invented the Instadoo. Just put it over your head like a helmet does, and you can have an instant hairstyle. People like it. People like Jeff Bart.
I like it.
See, I told you.
Anything's possible. Keep thinking. Get started on your own inventions or just play some games at inventnow.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Don't you feel the day is coming that will stay and remain when your children see the answers that you saw the same? When the clouds have all gone, there will be no more rain, and the beauty of all things is uncovered again. And we all know it's better.
Yes, and you're traveling with us on the Spirit Road at AM 950. I'm Bert Berlow.
And I am Rick Bernardo. Stay with us to hear more about peace and war in the heartland. And I'm just noticing there's Matt Reitzma, part of our Spirit Road crew. Matt, what are you doing here?
Hey, Rick, how's it going? I came to spread the word about a great organization of business leaders, Responsible Business Minnesota. They're a great group of visionary people, and the voice of business is sorely needed in Minnesota. So
yeah.
Responsible Business Minnesota is committed to prosperity, inclusiveness, and responsible business practices that are about doing well by doing good. They offer resources and working business models that follow a triple bottom line of profit, people, and planet.
Wow. How do people find out more? That's great.
They can go to aboutrmb.org on the web.
AboutRMB, like Responsible Minnesota Business?
That's right.
.org.
Yep.
All right. Thanks, Matt. It's all about commitment to mutual prosperity. That's a powerful idea.
Yeah, thanks, Matt. That was really great. And we're sitting with Frank Kroenke in the Human Village from Peace and War in the Heartland, and we've gone under the radar to visit with Frank. Frank, a lot of our listeners will not know who the Minnesota Eight were. Could you tell us?
Sure. In February of 1970, a group of student activists at the university, very heavily influenced by returning veterans and the desire to stop the draft system, actually physically broke into boards and would destroy 1A files. If we did that, the young men were invisible to the system and they would not be drafted to Vietnam unless they went down and re-registered. And we pulled off the largest draft raid in U.S. history here in St. Paul and Minneapolis. We destroyed in one night over 10,000 draft files and took thousands of blank cards to Canada to facilitate war resistors returning. And we had this very successful action, and J. Edgar Hoover sent that 100 FBI agents, the Tribune said at the time, to try to find us, and the Wilmer VFW put a $10,000 bounty on our heads. And you might say, well, why didn't you stop right there? Because no one got caught. I was in the St. Paul Post Office building downtown, a 14-story building with 20 other people for 6 hours destroying files, of which the paper recorded there was at least a foot deep of debris throughout this huge place. They had 54 draft offices centralized there.
Now Frank, this sounds kind of subversive.
I hope so.
And I'm trying to be dry there, but the thing is, it sounds scary. What was going on not only in your head, but in your gut?
Well, most of the Minnesota Eight come from very mainstream, middle-class backgrounds. I'm one of nine children of New Jersey Republicans, and I went to St. John's. I never protested the war during college or anything. But what happened is that as we became more involved with the war and open to it, we kept meeting more and more veterans coming back from the war who basically said, whatever this is, it has nothing to do with saving America, protecting America, or anything good. And so we had protested, petitioned, march. The president wasn't listening, sounds familiar. Congress was impotent, sounds familiar. Yeah. People were frustrated, sounds familiar. So the last thing was, let's just stop the damn system. So where did they keep the files?
So like trying to throw in a systemic monkey wrench.
Absolutely. Two things. There was the practical fact of the men whose files we destroyed actually no longer were visible to that system. And I meet men all the time who tell me they didn't go to Nam because we destroyed their draft office. But symbolically, it raised the ante. We said, you know, it's American to resist illegitimate authority. That's how this country was founded, by a group of of people who looked at the British king and said, "Not that's illegitimate, the way you're acting, the taxes you're imposing, mm-hmm. the mercenary army you have here." So resistance was, patriotism is resistance to illegitimate authority. And so we just upped the ante. Yeah. And if you remember the times, I presume you guys do.
What I was going to say is not everybody listening might know this, but was this before or after Pentagon Papers were released? And
right.
we knew, we began to get an inkling of just how badly we had been lied to as a country systemically and over.
It was before that, and that's why the risk was that people really hated us when we did this action. They used to have Hang the Minnesota 8 signs painted on the ground in the West Bank, and there was a letter to the editor in the Tribune saying we should be hung from a float in the Aquitennial, and so it was very, very unpopular because the Pentagon Papers and Watergate had not occurred. But what had occurred from February when we did our first action was Kent State, where for the first time ever we killed students, Jackson State, where more students got killed, to different things that happened in the continued invasion of Cambodia and other places like that. So we were beyond moral outrage. We just had to try to stop the system. However, if guys were risking their lives defending this country in battle, we had to risk our lives defending this country in nonviolent battle, if you want. We had to go into the system and said, no, we're not defining our masculinity by being killers, and this is not the way this country is supposed to go forward.
Frank, thanks. So Frank is Executive Director of Peace and War in the Heartland. And Frank, the question I'm having is what turned you towards this? What was there some moment or some conversation with somebody that where you went from your middle class upbringing to holy cow, I have to do something.
Right, and it was a personal thing. All resistance is based upon personal experience. Every draft resistor and draft raider that you'll meet had somebody who was being negatively impacted by the war—a friend, a brother, even young women who were in nurses and stuff over there. So Gordy Nielsen from Big Lake, Minnesota, walked into my office one day and said, "You know, I was young. I lied about my age. I joined the Marines. I killed people, destroyed stuff, and because I wanted to be a better Marine." And then one night I was having flashbacks. We didn't know it was called post-traumatic stress back then. And he said, I was listening to him, and you know, my normal response would have been, well, you know, go to mass, say some prayers, whatever. But he looked at me and he said, what are you going to do? Because he had heard me preach and teach, and I said, well, I'm doing it. And he said, no, we have to have the story. Got to stop the story of him being told. We have to, you know, stop the system. And so in response to Gordy, who later on went to the threw his medals back over the White House fence, I walked over to the West Bank to the Twin City Draft Information Center, met Dave Gutnick and a whole bunch of other guys, Don Olson, who were into draft resistance, and followed in the tradition of Catholic radicals from back east, the Father Berrigans, who were raiding draft boards already, and we put on these draft raids here in Minnesota.
See, that's a phrase I don't hear a lot, draft raid. And right. and even if I did, I wouldn't know always, because the draft is a memory to a lot of people, and I think in theory a lot of people, in fact, one of our sound manager, Matt here, a lot of who would know that they think they're in the selective service system, but it's just sort of this machinery out there.
Well, it is. The draft is now online. That's where it exists, and it's got this huge database at the selective service website, sss.gov. You'll find out that it's alive and well and healthy and has the names of all your children, all your young 18 to 25-year-old men and women are in that system. So the physical draft board, they don't exist anymore, and maybe that's a compliment to our effectiveness that they decided they had to do away with those.
Wow. So, Gordy, who's
Nielsen.
The guy you're talking? Nielsen, and was he had been to Vietnam or?
Oh yes, that he was a young Marine, and he testified at our trial also.
Okay, so there's a lot of soldiers and people of experience in war and peace involved in all of this.
Absolutely.
Wow. Well, thank you, Frank, so much.
Okay,
we'll be back soon.
We will be back in just a few more minutes with more from Frank Kroenke.
Yeah. So stay with us.
Stay with us. Don't touch that dial.
Later, we're going to visit the Transcendent Drive-In Movie and tune in to the Chutes and Ladders Spiritual Headlines. And it's all along the Spirit Road.
To the wind of my soul. Where I'll end up, well, I think only God really knows. I've sat upon the setting sun, but never, I never wanted water once. No, never.
I'm I'm Bert Burlow on the Spirit Road.
And I'm Rick Bernardo. Ride with us on the airways, fourth Sunday of the month at 11 a.m.
We visit people on a journey to make a difference while traveling the crossroads of spirituality and social change.
Gentlemen, I'm hitchhiking. Can we head to the stars together?
We're guided by words of wisdom from Queen of the Road.
You got peace and love with them. You'll be fine. Remember that on your journey.
We go under the radar to visit spiritual activists.
You're traveling to another dimension.
We stop at the Transcendent Drive-In to visit the afterlife of films dealing with spirituality or transformation.
They are coming.
We tune in to the Chutes and Ladders Spiritual Headlines from your spiritual anchor at WIMU.
What, do I gotta write you a letter? Stay tuned.
Fourth Sundays at 11. It's a trip.
Hop in. Enjoy the ride on the Spirit Road.
Yes, the answer lies within.
From the M950 Weather Center, here's our forecast now for the Twin Cities. Today, sunny with a high of 37.